Hey guys, it's Reggie Brock with the Live Exposed podcast, and I'm so glad to have you here today. And as you've noticed, probably I haven't been doing a lot of these. And the reason is because I really only want to do these with people I want to find out more about. Now, that doesn't preclude good people and me searching after them, but guys that I've watched over the years and the development and the growth of them. And the reason for that is, you know, by now, by listening to this podcast, my whole goal is to pour out what's left in me to other people to help them. And so that's the kind of guest I bring on, where I've seen their story over the years, and I know it's not just about them. It's about how can I contribute to the life of other people? Listen, for their betterment. You know, sometimes we do stuff for other people because it's all about our gain. And it's about, you know, how can we build our brand and how can we become more popular or have more money or. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But at the end of the day, my goal is to find contributors to humanity who may not get as much out of it as we had anticipated, but they are pouring themselves into others and seeing others' lives advance at a great rate. And today, I have one of the coolest guys on with me today. I've watched this guy, known him for the last 3 years or so, Joe Hughes. And I've asked him to join me today because, like I said, I've watched this guy for the last 3 years, and I've been intrigued, not just at his business success, but just the life that he's developing, the things around his life that really contribute to, you know, what we see and hear from every day. So, Joseph, welcome to the podcast today.
Man, thank you, Reggie. Such an honor to be here, and it's been awesome to get to know you over the past 3 years as well. And yeah, I'm excited to have a fun, good conversation here.
Yeah. So we're not going to talk. Just so everybody will know up front, I've not asked Joseph to talk anything about Contractor Dynamics or kind of what they do. And if you don't know what they do, go to their website, look them. I mean, they're all over social media. This is one of the guys, when he posts something, I stop. And when his team starts posting stuff, I stop because it just has meaning and it has value to it. And so I would encourage you to, if you're not following Joseph, if you're in a cave somewhere and you've not seen Joe and his team kind of engage socially the way they have, plug into him, because I think it'll bring a lot of added value to your life. But today we're going to really talk about really what's behind this guy. You know, what are the things, what are the ingredients of his life that have created the success that we see? Because not all the time do the successes we see really define how you've got there, right? And so, you know, Joseph and I want to walk him through some questions today. It's going to kind of open you up to him and some of the ways that he's found life and success that he's had, and he's open to that. So we're going to do that today, if it's okay with y'all. Joseph, why don't you take just a minute, and for people who may not know you, talk a little about where you're from and kind of how you got where you are, and we'll go from there.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'm excited to dive into these questions. You did not prep me on them, so that's fun. That's fun and exciting. Yeah. I'm ready for sure. So yeah, real quick, kind of elevator overview. I live at the Jersey Shore with my wife of 13 years, Alyssa. Our two kids, Hunter is 11 and Serafina is 8. Mm-hmm. And I started Contractor Dynamics a little over 10 years ago after growing up in my family's construction business for about 10 or 15 years. Here in Jersey, in New York City. So yeah, that's a little bit about me. We live here by the beach this summer. I've been enjoying some beach time and surfing and a couple of vacations and whatnot. And yeah, for me, like, we'll probably get into it a little bit. Like, my secret sauce is really just like being consistent and just showing up every day and just learning and improving and growing every day. And yeah. I do that by, you know, listening to podcasts like Reggie's and others, and reading books and interacting with like-minded people and unlike-minded people, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fun, and yeah, no one has it all figured out. And we're all learning from one another. So I just love that human connection is so awesome to me.
Yeah. And I've watched and I've seen really some personal growth from afar in your life, just like little indicators that I'm not going to go into, but just, I've just watched kind of growth happening in your life. So here's the first question that I thought about. So if I'm seeing growth and people want growth, what are some of the habits, whether they're daily or, I, you know, probably daily habits or routines that you get in to that if you feel like have played a significant role in this journey?
I think that, yeah, growth, we want it to be this linear path, right? This graph from the lower left to the upper right, and we're going, just continuing to go up, and there's no pitfalls and all that. But in reality, we all know that's not how it goes. There, you know, we'll grow a little bit. We'll take two steps forward, one step back, maybe even sometimes two steps back to take one step forward. That's the journey of life and entrepreneurship. So for me, you know, we can't always control like everything that's going to happen during the day. Are we going to close this sale? Is this customer going to be happy? Are we going to have an awesome workout? Like whatever it is, but we can, there are things that we can control. So for me, that's the bookends of the day, where you have the morning, you know, your first half an hour to an hour waking up, your last hour of the day, give or take, whatever it is for you. But those are the things that can really ground us and set us up for the day, so that if things don't go well, then we're not like in reactive mode. We're responding in a more level-headed manner. So do you block schedule?
I mean, how do you do your schedule in terms of your routines, and how have you found those routines to, and you just mentioned one of them, I mean, it just kind of keeps you on track, but do you kind of live like, I mean, do you build around schedule or what?
I'm probably too rigid for most people. Like if you call me, Reggie, like during the middle of the day, which you have, like, yeah. Sorry, I don't answer it.
Yeah, I got you.
It's just the way, because like I do time blocking, I block my schedule. I'm working on this thing, My phone's on do not disturb 24/7. And, you know, that's just the way I operate. Like I realize that's too rigid for maybe the real world sometimes. But yeah, blocking everything out, like the morning routine is locked in. So I'm up at 5:40 every morning. I have my morning routine. I go to the gym or I run. I get that in before the family's up and about. From there, it's like having breakfast with the kids and the family before they're off to school. Mm-hmm. And then the work day is the work day, and everything's planned out. Like every Friday afternoon, I have a meeting with my executive assistant, and we run through our calendars for the following week. So by Friday afternoon at 6 p.m., like everything's locked in for the next week. And that's just like priorities, what needs to get done, our big initiatives, meetings, workouts, going to kids, you know, soccer games, like whatever that is, it's all in the calendar. And
so how critical has that been to the overall success, and why? Why do you think that is? Because I think there's some people that are fly by the seat of the pant guys, you know, they just kind of get up and however the wind blows. And I think that they find their life more chaotic, not maybe more challenging, but just more chaotic. So what has the routines really done to, you know, kind of insulate you, if you will, to maybe those extreme highs and lows?
Yeah, it does do that for sure. And it helps you really focus on the important and not just the urgent. So I think a lot of us have heard of the Eisenhower matrix, where you have the important things, you have the urgent things. You know, the important is seldom urgent, the urgent is seldom important. And so if we don't, like I found, if we don't plan our days, then we're just going to be putting out fires and responding to people and replying and taking care of the urgent matters of the day, but those big rocks don't get done. So an example of this, Reggie, is last year we would have these like quarterly initiatives for our business. And Elizabeth is my right hand, who you've met. And she and I run the company together. And like we'd have these initiatives, say for, you know, Q3, and we'd be on track. And then we get to the end of the quarter, and like we didn't get them done. And that was because like we didn't have like milestones along the way. We didn't put time in our calendar. So this year is a lot more different, where again, like that calendar is planned out a week in advance, and there's time blocks for those big initiatives. And so we're getting those done, which is moving our business forward like on a weekly basis. Like we can feel it. Even if it's not, the business isn't growing like revenue-wise in a given week, it's still growing internally. Like we're just becoming stronger. So that, you know, that scheduling, and that allows you to prioritize what's important and not just urgent.
Is that, I love that. Not, it's important and urgent, and there's a difference. So before I go to the next question, how significant and what kind of advice would you give someone who might be listening to this in terms of implementing that kind of strategy into their life and their business?
Yeah.
From a scheduling standpoint.
Yeah. That could be intimidating or scary to a lot of people, depending on your personality type. So like if you follow a DISC assessment. I'm high S. Like, I'm very stable. I'm very consistent. Like, this plays well into my personality type. You know, if you're ADHD or you're just like high strung, it might be a little bit more difficult. But I would argue, because I know people that are, say, ADHD business owners that do the same thing I do. And one of them is one of our mutual friends. And yeah, like he thrives with it,
yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
I would say to anyone, challenge your assumptions there, because that, like, discipline equals freedom, right? So like if you're getting the important things done, you're gonna have time in your calendar, your schedule to just, you know, do whatever else you need to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, just you don't have to go all in and plan your day from, you know, 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. like I do. Like, the entire day is, like, you know, color coded and all that. Like, you don't have to go there. Don't start there. But just make sure, like, all right, well, if you have a priority of, like, you know, getting more fit this month or this quarter, this year, put those times in when you're going to the gym, and let your spouse or your, you know, significant other know, so like you guys can be on the same page. Or if it's a business initiative, if you want to launch a podcast, if you want to revamp your sales process, like, all right, yeah, I want to revamp my sales process. Well, put some, like, you know, 2 hours a week, 4 hours a week in your calendar to make sure that's getting done every week.
So guys, here's what would be a great takeaway from this. The changes you may be needing and wanting and looking for are going to require routine. They're going to, this incremental growth, marginal growth you're looking for may just be needed to reduce down to simple steps that you get accomplished every day. And so I think that's something, Joseph, that most people just overlook as unimportant. And sometimes people have these big visions, but it is so daunting to look at, and you go like, I would like to get there, but we just freeze because it just seems too overwhelming. And I think what you're saying, if it's not correct, but it's like, maybe it's just we're trying to get to this place. Maybe we just need to reduce it down to step-by-step routines and gradually get there, as opposed to being truly, like, overwhelmed with this big vision that we've never been able to accomplish.
I agree 100%. And that's been, I've been guilty of that. I still am. Right. So you have this big thing, like, okay, maybe in business, like, we want to switch CRMs or revamp the sales process. And, like, in your mind, it's like, all right, I'm going to wait for that rainy day where I have, like, a full 8 or 10 hours to really, you know, lock in and get this thing done. Right. But in reality, that never happens.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, for example, like, one of my major priorities in our business is marketing. I don't have, like, a day, like, every Tuesday I'm doing marketing all day. I have 5 two-hour blocks every week to do marketing. So yeah, chunking it down can make it, you know, less overwhelming for sure.
Well, guys, get at least consider some kind of routine. It may not just be this huge step, but if you're wanting for growth, either personally or professionally, you really need to start micromanaging more of your time. And so I think that's a good piece of advice. So, Joseph, here's my second question. A lot of times people see successful people like you and think either they've fallen into it, you know, they've, you know, been born with it, or they got lucky at some level. But I have found that failure oftentimes is a huge part of growth. So would you feel comfortable, or could you think about or share a time where you've maybe failed, and it's contributed to some of the success you're experiencing today?
Man, like, every week it's, you know, there's failures every week, but, you know, you experience something and you extract a lesson from it. I think it's a failure only if you don't extract that lesson from it. And I know, you know, we don't want to talk too much about business, but, like, that's kind of where my brain goes with some of these failures. Like, you know, in business, whether you're an owner or a leader, like, sometimes you think that you have to, like, do everything yourself and you have to know everything yourself. But the reality is that there's some things that, you know, we're just not good at or that we don't like, and we can find other people that like those things. So being in a lot for way too long, I, like, held those things inside thinking that I had to be this superhero, like, guy that could do everything. And now, you know, I'm just more, I surrender more. I'm just like, all right, I'm not good at this thing. I hate doing it. Does anyone else want to do it? And guess what? There's someone else that gets energized by doing that thing. So that's huge there. And then on a, you know, on a just life level, say, you know, there might be a week where I feel like my workouts are just not very intense. Like I'm going through the motions and just trying to catch yourself as quickly as possible. And don't beat yourself up about it, which I have a tendency to do, right? Don't beat yourself up. Like, all right, well, what is a good workout? Like, what's a standard for a good workout?
Let's stop right there. So when you say you beat yourself up, where does that come from, do you think?
Dude, I wish I knew. You know, just like wanting to be perfect and everything, wanting to have a great workout all the time. Hey, some mornings, I have my morning routine. Sometimes I'm human. I'll get caught up in scrolling social media for 20 minutes. I'm like, oh man, I'm off. Like, what am I doing? I can't be doing this, right? And sometimes I'll beat myself up for like wasting precious time in the morning. I don't know where that comes from. I mean, you might have a better answer.
I'm trying to reflect as you're talking, even on my life about, I mean, because I've had a plethora of failures. And I think what happens is we have this internal dialogue that has a propensity to hear and remember more of the things we failed at than the things mm-hmm. we've gained from.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And so, and sometimes it's environmentally, you know, meaning they're the people around us, the way that, you know, sometimes we've been judged fairly or unfairly. And I think that stuff just sits in our head. And I think it, like, when we go to make another decision or another move, the part of our brain that kicks off is that part that reminds us why we should not, because of like the failures we've been through. Right. So we're like, hey, I don't want to go down that road again. But I've also found in my life, and I hope you probably have too, is those failures have really been key ingredients to what I'm doing now, right? And what I will do in the future. You can't just think that your life is all about just the successes that are going to prepare you to the next one, right? Mm-hmm. Part of the success that we're both going to have and others listening to this will have has to take into account the failures. And I'm always curious what people learn from the times of mistake, shortcoming, and failures. And so I think it's a huge opportunity to learn.
It is, yeah, and also teach, right? So like one of the things that people can relate to is kids. And like I said, my kids were 11 and 8, and hey, sometimes I you know, yell at them, or, you know, I'm tougher on them than I want to be. Maybe I'm stressed out from something else, right? And I always regret that, right? If I'm being too tough, or maybe lose my temper a little bit. But that's a way for, you know, a situation for me to learn and be like, all right, well, how can I respond better next time instead of reacting? And then, hey, I'll sit my son down and be like, hey, I'm sorry, I messed up. Like, I should not have reacted like that. I should have taken a deep breath and responded. So, you know, we're learning and then we're teaching. So I think that's really important to recognize as well.
Yeah, and with clients too. I mean, I've had opportunities, I mean, where I've shot it in a direction and it's just like missed the target totally. And what people do a lot of times is they run from that, or they try to hide that, or they try to overlook that. And all it does is it creates more problems. So whether it's in your family life, if you're listening to this, and, you know, whether it's in your business, you have got to learn to deal with failures as a key ingredient to the ongoing success that lies ahead for you, if you can learn from it, right? It's not something to repeat. So I think the last thing that I'd really like to focus on that, this question, is people understanding how strong the way we talk to ourselves is.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's like I have been more beat up by me than anybody else in my life. Listen, this is going to sound like a weird connection to this question, but like, do you ever find yourself pep talking yourself?
Encouraging? Yeah.
And how important to that is that to you?
It is. I mean, yeah, we all know that we shouldn't do it. And again, maybe it's become more obvious to me having kids, where I'll hear like my 11-year-old son, like, he plays a lot of soccer, and if he doesn't do well, he's like beating himself up and talking negatively about himself. And I'm like, man, I'm like telling him not to do it, but at the same time, like, man, I know I do that same thing too, right? So just being super aware of that. And yeah, like, part of my morning routine, Reggie, is like I read out like my core values and my vision. Yeah. And some of my like I am statements, like words of affirmation.
Yeah.
That really helped me set up the day, for sure. So, yeah, that positive self-talk is way easier said than done, but it's like, hey, if you, would you talk to your best friend like that? Like, would I talk to you? Like I talk to myself, like probably not.
Right.
You know, I shouldn't talk to myself like that.
Well, it's a proven fact scientifically that the brain is very, there's a lot of elasticity to the brain. And a lot of times what happens is we think because we've just been programmed to think one certain way, it can't ever change. I found that to be untrue. Some of these people, just like you just said, you just repeat the same messages maybe your parents told you, or maybe a teacher told you, or a boss told you, or a spouse has told you. And you have just believed that so long, it's hard to believe any other way other than the way it's been. And you're like, well, that's just the way I am. But I think to your point, meditating and the declaration and affirmation to remind yourself not just of where you've been, but where you're going and really who you are. It's scientifically proven to expand the lane of your mind to be able to confront that next challenge differently. And I think that's powerful. So, you know, the takeaway for me in this question is, guys, you've got to spend time in your day reminding yourself of who you are. Quit spending so much time bragging to others about who you are and convince yourself about who you are, the giftings you have, the abilities you have, and charge forward. So, yeah, I think that's a critical aspect to success. So thank you for that. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about marketing. I just got one question for you. Things seem to be changing so rapidly in marketing. You know, I'm from one day to the, maybe not, I mean, obviously not that quick. Maybe it's just evolving quickly. How do you stay adaptable and continue to learn so that you can stay ahead of the curve and teach others to do the same? Because I always notice you doing that. It's like you're kind of out in front of everything. How do you do that?
Well, you answered the question already, Reggie. You said continue to learn, and that's really it, just being a lifelong student. So when it comes to marketing, I learn from others. You know, I take courses. I have, we have a marketing consultant that we work with that helps us to stay ahead of things. Now we've got an awesome team at Contractor Dynamics. Like, they're teaching me things. So, like, if you're going to come to me right now and ask me a tactical question about, you know, ads or something like that, I might be able to answer you, but I know that I can, I'd rather go to my team and get the answer from them. So that's like, you know, learning from them as well, but being a student, being open to learning, just really being curious about it. It's like, you know, what is marketing really? It's really about connecting with our market and how do people interact these days? Like, what do people need to see and believe in order to trust you enough to do business with you or even pick up the phone and call you? And so a lot of it is just being curious and like putting yourself in the shoes of your ideal client and thinking about how you make purchasing decisions and, you know, how you can facilitate an easy buying experience or education experience for your market. So, you know, a lot of that has not really changed in decades. Like, that's all the same. It's just a matter of, you know, these new platforms and AI and technology and all these things are coming out. So they enable us to connect with our market in different ways and a lot of ways faster and some automation and things like that. But that human connection has never been more important. So yeah, I mean, to answer your question, just be a student of it. And again, like, I have time on my calendar every week to learn to study new things. Otherwise, yeah, you get stale and you go to a, you know, on a podcast like this, or you go to a conference and someone asks you a question, you don't know the answer. And, you know, then you don't sound very smart, you don't feel very smart. So
I've heard this was all had, I didn't write this down as a question, but I've heard you talk about this. It seems like a theme in the conversation. You talk as much about the other people on your team in terms of contribution levels to y'all's success. And so take a minute and talk a little bit about that. Why is it that, number one, how do you set a team up to where you can have contributors, not just to your customers, but to the team members? And why has that been successful why has that had so much impact on you guys? Because I've seen it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. A lot of time and attention and effort goes into that. Really, it's, you know, it was the Joe show for many years running this company and thinking I had to do everything myself. And maybe that was ego. Maybe that was ignorance. I don't know what it was, but you get to a point where you're like, all right, we're at a point now. Like I don't want to work more hours. I can't work more hours. Like I want to be able to focus in the hours that I am working. So I need to like delegate certain things, hire more people. And then you realize like, wow, like Sydney's amazing at this thing. Like I am not that good at it. She's awesome at it. You know, there's other people that are amazing at different things. So it's really a matter of like, maybe, you know, putting your ego aside and realizing like, all right, as a leader, as a business owner, as a visionary, what are my responsibilities? Like, what is my highest contribution to this organization? And there's a handful of things that, you know, ideally I focus on a weekly basis. And one of those is kind of coaching and leading our team and, you know, continuing to like reinforce that vision and, you know, supporting people and getting on one-on-one calls and meetings with people. And just supporting them and helping them develop as leaders. I think like we all have like this certain like nerdy aspect about us that we like love to learn and love to figure things out. And it's cool to see that. Like it's really cool. So that's been an evolution. It wasn't always that way, but I found that the more that like I, you know, delegate and elevate, the more that everyone else can grow and the more our company grows and just everyone benefits. So
right people in the right seats.
Yep. Yep. Being able
to just kind of do what they do most all the time has created probably more efficiency to strengthen the organization, I would think. And I think that's where most people miss it. They run out of juice and willpower because they're trying to do everything themselves, or at least they have to have their finger in everything. And sometimes the ultimate goal is to get to where you have people in your organization that give you the time and the opportunity to really find your unique ability and fly hard in it and just stay zoned in that lane to create your full opportunity or your full potential to the throughout the organization. Any other people do the same thing?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, every day, Reggie, like I start typing out a message in our email or internal Slack or whatever it is. And then I delete it and like step away. Cause I'm like, oh, I shouldn't meddle. Like I should let them figure it out, or, you know, they should talk to someone else about it on the team. Cause if I continue to like meddle, then they're not going to be able to elevate. So it, like anything else, like it doesn't happen by accident. It takes intention.
Yep.
You know, team meetings, same page meetings every week, regular communication.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of intention.
Okay. So, you mentioned, I know you guys coach, you consult, you do a lot of great things for other people. Do you have mentors and coaches? I think you mentioned it just a minute ago. I mean, you have the same approach to your business and your life as you do providing to others, it sounds like. How critical has that been for y'all?
Yeah, like so I started my business in 2012, and for the first 3 years I just figured that like, oh, I have this unique business model and I need to figure out everything on my own. And that was part me just, again, ignorance. That was part like my blue collar work ethic, just working, you know, growing up working in construction. I'm like, all right, I can just put my head down and do this thing and get it done. Like I am that, like that Puritan work ethic. And then it was about 3 years into my business, I hired my first business coach. I was in a group coaching thing, and that was 2015. And ever since then I've had some sort of business coach. So like right now I have a business coach, Clifton. He's amazing. Our mutual friend, Benny Fisher, and I are kind of like peer mentors to one another. So we have a recurring meeting every Tuesday at 2 o'clock where we just talk for an hour on the phone, just, you know, like life, business, whatever. Yeah. I'm a member of masterminds. I, you know, travel to events like you do. So, this journey of entrepreneurship can be very lonely, especially for those of us, like we have a remote team. We're all over the country. We don't have like an office. So, it can be very lonely. So just being able to like have a sounding board for those decisions, or, you know, when you're having a crappy day and you just want to talk to someone and that understands what you're going through.
How difficult was the shift for you to see that as a cost versus an investment? Because I think there's some guys out there that go like, I would love that. I just can't afford it. So how does that, I mean, how did you transition in that? Because I think that's a hard play for some people.
Yeah, well, part of it is trusting yourself to do the work, right? So if you have a coach or a mentor, you're in a mastermind program, like there's no magic to it. You've got to, it's actually more work. Like, right, if you hire a business coach tomorrow, you're not only paying money, but you're signing yourself up for more work. So you've got to be willing to do that work. So I think a big part of it is trusting yourself that you can do the work. And I do. Like, so I can invest however much money into something. I know that if I do the work, I'm going to get that return on investment. It might not be monetary. It might be mindset shift. It might be better relationships, whatever that is I'm seeking. So that's a part of it. And then really just the other part of it is, man, life is short, right? We have one go at this thing. And like, in my opinion, we don't have unlimited time to make all the mistakes that we need to make on our own. Yeah. So for me, like, you know, accessing a coach is time traveling in some way. Like, you're able to, accelerate that process. And, you know, I don't want to run out of time. You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
Mentors and coaches can redeem your time, right? Like, especially if you're out there hearing this and, you know, you're kind of teetering on, do I need somebody? Am I willing to, you know, because usually you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
And so if you're really wanting some high level input, you need to look for people that provide that, and you can see that in the life of others. And so I think that people just have to get to a place where they're comfortable seeing their business or their lives. And I'm not going to just business, but their life is something that's really investable. Like, when I made my transition into, you know, leaving a great company that I left to start doing my own thing, the first thing I thought was, you know, am I willing? One of the big deals for me is, am I willing to invest in me? Because if I'm not willing to invest in me, how can I expect somebody else to have confidence to do that?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm talking about coaching and mentoring, am I doing that in my own life? Or am I just talking about something I really don't believe? And so if you're listening to this today, you have got to get to a point where you allow investment into your life through other people that can help you understand paths differently to me. That's the way I see this. Or maybe there might be some correction, or there may be some encouragement, or whatever it is. You need to invest in that part of your life. And I think before you do that, it's very, very difficult to have much progress. And here's the reason I say that. Because if we're single in nature, we're single in resource. And so having people around you to contribute to you creates additional resource and energy at times for you that sometimes we just lack ourselves. So, that's an interesting thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, like that saying that you can't solve a problem with the same level of thinking that got you into that problem, or something along those lines. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think what like a coach does, or just a mentor, or could be a friend, whatever it is, just kind of unlocks different ways of thinking about things and different levels of thinking that you just didn't know was possible, because we're in our own heads. So that's a huge part of it. Just like, oh, well, I never thought of it that way. Like, that's possible. Yeah. So those things are just like, are huge.
And you see those times where you're sitting there and you've been thinking through something forever, and then somebody just says something that seems casual, or like, like when you first hear it, you go like, who cares? And then you think about it and you go like, how in the world did I miss that? Well, the reason you missed it is you don't think like that, or you've not thought about those things, or you've not had the resource made available to you until now. So it's a great tool to have in the toolbox of life. You know, it's just having people speaking into your life. One of the first things I ask people is that I'm starting to build a relationship with is, who are the contributors in voice to your life?
I like that.
Yeah. Who is it that's speaking to you? Who is it that can tell you no, and you will consider it as an alternative to some of the choices that you're making? And most people are so swollen in their own identity, it's really, really hard to hear somebody else. And so I know you have evolved, even just in the 3.5 years I've seen you, so has your organization. So I've known all along, before I even asked that question, there had to be some voice contributors to your life. And so, guys, if you're hearing this today, you need to find people who can speak into your life and have the freedom to do that and have the opportunity to do that, because you need it. So, yeah, I think that's a great thing to pour into people today, is just the opportunity of investment as opposed to cost. and voice into their life. Yeah.
Yes. And just one more thing on that topic, Reggie, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to pay for it. It doesn't have to be something that you pay for.
Right.
Although, you know, that does get you kind of access to different levels of people. But like, I have a couple of friends locally that are also business owners that have been business owners for about twice as long as I have. So, you know, I'll go grab coffee with them, or we'll go work out together, or go for a run, and just kind of like, you know, ask some questions. So just, you know, anyone that's just outside of your own head is really a help.
So I've noticed you've never asked me to go on a run and talk. Because you know, without asking, that would be like a really bad decision on your part.
Nah, yeah, I love that. Yeah.
I know. So I'm going to ask you three kind of closing questions that are a little bit more on the fun side. And I thought about this because I really thought about this conversation because I really don't want the conversation to sound like most of the conversations that you hear or expect. And so when I came up with this question, I thought this will be an interesting one. So if you could describe kind of your growth journey, just looking at it from that standpoint, as a story, and there were only three chapters in the story, what would the titles be of those chapters, and what were the pivotal moments contained in those chapters? Is that too much? That's just interesting to me. Like,
no, that's wow. That's deep. Okay. Well, the first thing that comes to mind is, so this is like business story.
No, you personal, just on your part, you can have, it's your story. Tell it. There's three chapters. And why were these three chapters titled what they are, and what's the context behind it?
Man, let's see, three chapters. I think that, you know, the first one might be, so like one of my friends I just alluded to has this analogy. They own a pretty big business. They have over 200 employees. And we always talk about business in terms of like, or he talks about it in terms of like, hey, you've got this alligator that you're holding by the tail, and the alligator just keeps growing. You got to hang on and figure out a way to hang on. And so I apply that to business all the time. And once in a while I'll run into him and be like, man, you know, that alligator is getting strong. I'm trying to hold on, you know? But I think that applies to life as well. So like maybe the first chapter, and this is completely, I mean, just thinking about this, but right now, so like the first chapter might be getting this, like, you know, getting this pet alligator. I'm like, all right, this thing's so cute, you know, we're buddies, we're gonna hang out together, maybe we're gonna walk my alligator around the block, right? Yeah. So it's like, it's bliss because you don't know what you don't know, you know, you're just young, you're exuberant, you have unlimited optimism. So that might be, you know, the blissful alligator. I don't know if that's
good. Yeah, that's good.
Right. And then number two, the second chapter, you get into where, you know, the alligator gets a little bit bigger, and you're used to hanging out with the alligator and being its friend, but now the alligator is hungry, so you're just not prepared. And so the alligator starts taking little bites at you and starts eating you. And so that might be, you know, whoa, alligator.
Yeah.
Chapter number two.
Yeah.
And then the third chapter of that is, all right, you're getting nipped at by this alligator every day, but you learn to become stronger, and you learn to, in a way, tame that alligator and be able to, you know, grab a hold of that alligator to where you have control over it. So that comes with like life and business experience where, you know, third chapter might be taming the alligator.
Yeah. So. See, I made you think a little bit, right?
Yeah. That's really, that's interesting. You're really challenging me here. I love it.
Yeah.
Hope that made sense. I don't know.
Yeah, it did. I mean, but see, and this is what I think. I think if you ask people different things, it creates new opportunities for them to think about other ways. In this case, even to contribute to somebody else's life, because everybody out there has an alligator, dude. I mean, it may have a different name to it. It may be a different size. They may be in a different stage of evolution of their pet alligator, right?
But yeah.
At the end of the day, that thing is going to grow up, and it's going to go from loving you because you feed it to you becoming its meal. And then the third thing, it becomes out of control. So I think that's a great story. And I think it's really, really practical to guys today. Thank you for that. Yeah. So next, and I got two more, and then we're going to quit. So this next question is really about if you were designing like room in your house. I'm looking at my shelf right now, and there are artifacts in my that are just descriptors of my life. So when I look at these, like I look in there, and like my dad, who's 89 years old, I have his catcher's mitt from the mid 40s. And I look at that, and it's a really definer to me, not of my career, but his career and the impact his life has had on me. I mean, I got another little, there's a little board in there with the name Brock on it, and it's got a hook. And my grandmother and grandfather used to have a little statue out in the front yard that they hung that on. So it doesn't mean anything to anybody, but it absolutely defines a part of my life. So I've got all those artifacts in there all over the place. So if you were to pick three artifacts from your life to exhibit in some kind of showcase somewhere that regarding to your journey, what would those three items look like?
Number one would be I'd have, so one of the things I would love to have is like a home library, like an awesome library. And one of those walls, one of the entire walls would be like an entire like global map, like a map of the world, right? A flat map of the world. We, as a family, love traveling. I've done a ton of traveling, want to do more of it. Yeah. Just a passion for sure. Artifacts. I mean, I would having awesome books in there, just books that I love, business, personal, travel books, travel literature. That's what I geek out on.
Yeah.
I'll read at night before I go to bed. And then let's see. I mean, one of the other things might be, so I had the opportunity a bunch of years ago to play rugby for the United States on the national team. And I haven't done it yet. I have my jersey, of course. I have a couple of them and they're in my drawer, but I've always envisioned, like, you know, framing one of those and hanging that up in an office somewhere, in my office or library. I think that would be really cool. And that represents just my being a lifelong athlete, our kids being athletes, that being an important part of, I love team sports. I think it's an excellent, you know, analogy for life. So yeah, those would be the three.
I bring that up for this reason is because sometimes we want to escape memories and some of them we need to escape. But I think having things around us that remind us of our growth and where we've come from and kind of where we're headed, you know what it really does? It gives me confidence to face the future. You and I both read the book by Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy about Gap and Gain. And one of the things that I've learned from that is there's really two lenses that you look at. You either look through the regarding progress in your life. That lens is either a growth lens or a gap lens or a gain in lens. And this is not as complicated as I make it. So, but what I saw myself is like I pick up this growth, this gap lens, and I look through it forward and I see where I am and where I'm going. And what I can't really focus on is anything other than a gap between here and there. And it just freaks me out. What I've learned is that I can take the other lens that they talk about, that gain lens, and here's what it does. It's interesting. It causes you to look backwards and to see how far you have come. And what it does for me, Joseph, is it gives me this sense of confidence that maybe even though it's unknown in front of me, I have a little confidence. I've treaded over rough terrain before. I have a little bit of confidence moving forward. And so I think it just better prepares me for what lies ahead.
Yeah, I could not agree more. That book is one of my favorites. Ben Hardy talks about the fact that we're in the gap like hundreds of times a day, potentially.
Yeah.
And just one of those concepts that is so important to remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that would probably be an artifact book for me. I mean, it's like really, if you have not read that book, you need to get a hold of it. It's really transformational. Last question, and then we're done. So if you, I mean, I don't know how big of a music fan are you. Are you a pretty big music fan?
I am, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because I see many times I've seen you like wearing kind of earphones or whatever while you're running. I figured you were. So if you could create like this playlist of songs that really represented the different stages of growth in your life, what three songs would be your top three songs on the playlist?
Man, so
you never heard these thought of these questions coming from me.
No, man. Let's see. Well, I'm a big, so I live in Jersey, from Jersey. I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan.
Of course.
Actually, we're going to see him next week in concert here for like my 20th time, probably. And we're bringing our son for his first time, which would be really cool. One of the songs I love about, or love that he wrote, is called Growing Up, just like a, you know, coming of age story. So that would be one. What was the question? Three songs that kind of like
that really explain your growth.
The third one would be
stages of your life, maybe, you know.
Yeah, way. The first one would be Growing Up. The third one would be Living by Dierks Bentley. Really, it's a beautiful song, just about like the simplicity of everyday life and the things that we go through every day that we take for granted. And the song is about pausing and just realizing like, wow, that's really amazing. So that would be the third one. And I think that's more, you know, maybe as you mature, you realize you focus more on gratitude. In the middle, man, I'm trying to think.
You have no idea how much I like this. Just
Oh man.
Funky Comadina? No. I don't want to beat you down on that. I think you got one in mind.
Well, I got another favorite song of our family is Sky Full of Stars by Coldplay. That was the first concert that we went to as a family of four 2 years ago. And just it's a really nice song. So
Yeah, I'm just going to give you one of mine, and it's probably best sang by the great Travis Tritt, Trouble, T-R-O-U-B-L-E. And so, you know, most of my songs are wrapped around this country music world. So, I think when you said that about that pause, I thought about something. It just causes you to pause. And guys, let me tell you something as we close this today. There is not a more powerful exercise I attempt every day than that, the power that comes with pause. It allows me to reflect, and it allows me to gather, and it allows me to really assess my life in a fair way. And so, you know, that's a great song. And so if you're not spending time pausing, and, you know, sometimes I tell people, facing choices and decisions, I think one of the best pieces of advice you can do is to put that on your playlist. How can I pause to be more effective and efficient in the choices that I'm making? I'm sorry, the choices I'm facing and the decisions that I'm making. And so, guys, this has been a blast for me. Joseph, thank you so much for taking time to be with me today. And sorry I caught you off guard, but I'm really not. I have people on my podcast that go like, what are we going to talk about? I'm going to go, you'll see. And so
this is fun. I mean, yeah. I've been on a lot of podcasts, and you know, you talk about the same thing and all that stuff, but this was definitely fun. Thanks for challenging me and getting me to think about some of these things.
Yeah. Well, guys, look, thank you so much for being with us today. These are just ingredients for you to put in your life that don't necessarily work the same way, but they're really, really important components to driving yourself step by step into the direction of success in the world you're trying to build. So thanks for being with us today. If you need me, reach out to me. Again, Joseph, what's the best way for them to contact you? Contractor through the website or what?
Yeah, contractordynamics.com for the biz. And then personally, just look up Joseph Hughes on the social media channels, and we're putting out content every day. So
yeah,
love to connect.
Hey guys, thanks for being with us today, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thank you.